This is for believers. These promises are for believers, and they are absolutely true. In its right context, knock, and he's going to open. Ask, you're going to receive, right? Seek, and you're going to find. In the right context. So then who has the right to say our Father? It is a true child of God through faith in Jesus Christ.
Welcome to this Friday edition of Equipping the Saints with Greg Lundstedt, pastor of Equipping Bible Church in Greer, South Carolina. And Greg, today you'll be talking about prayer. And I think it's safe to say that many of our listeners are in for a surprise, because what you'll be sharing from the Word of God about prayer is different than what many of us have heard or been taught.
You know, Dave, the sad truth is that many churches today really don't teach the Bible accurately. They pick and choose different portions and passages of Scripture and build entire messages or even theological systems around them without doing the hard work of studying the passage in its context. So today, we're going to take a familiar portion of the Sermon on the Mount and look at it through the lens of its right context so that we will see it rightly in light of these other passages. We're going to begin our look in Matthew chapter 7, verses 7 through 12.
Well, thanks, Greg. Now, if you want to listen to today's broadcast again, just download our free app from the Apple App Store. You'll find today's broadcast, archived broadcasts, as well as more about this ministry and our teacher, Pastor Greg Lundstedt. Now, let's join Greg for today's message.
It opens their eyes that they might turn, but some harden their hearts, very sadly, unto their own destruction. But it is so that they would turn from darkness and the being of Satan to light. Into God, so that they receive forgiveness of sins. You see how great a love the Father has bestowed upon us that we should be called children of God. And such we are. For this reason, the world does not know us, because it did not know Him. 1 John 3:1. And beloved, now we are children of God. It has not yet appeared what we shall be. We know that when He appears, we shall be like Him, because we shall see Him just as He is. And everyone who has this hope fixed on Him purifies himself just as He is pure. The amazing thing is now we are children of God. He is our Father who is in heaven. This is for believers. These promises are for believers, and they are absolutely true. In its right context, knock, and He's going to open. Ask, you're going to receive, right? Seek, and you're going to find. In the right context. So then who has the right to say our Father? It is a true child of God through faith in Jesus Christ. Now, Scripture does reveal that those who are still in their sins, God does not hear their prayer. He chooses not to hear it because of their sin. Isaiah 59, behold, the Lord's hand is not so short that it cannot save, neither is ear so dull it cannot hear. But your iniquities have made separation between you and your God, and your sins have hidden His face from you so that He does not hear. That was between the nation of Israel, who had not come to faith, and their God. Sin was in the way. 1 Peter 3:11, and let him turn away from evil and do good. Let him seek peace and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and His ears attend to their prayer. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. So then, there's no way to have a relationship with the Lord unless your sins are covered through faith in Jesus Christ. And if you are in Christ, God is your Father. And if not, Satan is your spiritual father. So this passage is not a blanket promise to everyone. It is only to those who are in the family of God through faith in Jesus Christ, who have the grand privilege of coming boldly before the throne. Now, secondly, something we need to look at is we need to dispel the notion that God answers every prayer based on this passage. This passage, on the surface, sounds like if we ask, we'll receive, if we seek, we'll find it, and if we knock, it'll be opened. And although that's true, there is a context. In light of the other passages where He doesn't hear, He doesn't respond. And you know what? We see in Scripture that even believers' prayers can be hindered. How can this be, ask and you receive, when your prayer is hindered? That can't be, right? This can't mean that every prayer that you ask is answered. It can't mean that. There's a context. Indeed, in Psalm 66, David said, if I regard wickedness in my heart, the Lord will not hear. We know in 1 Peter 3 that husbands are to live with their wives in an understanding way. Likewise, they're to be depending on Christ and live in an understanding way as a weaker vessel, since you don't grant her honor as a fellow heir of the grace of life, so that your prayers may not be hindered. We see that God does not answer prayers that are not according to his will, by the way. Take a look at James chapter 4. Turn there. James 4. James 4, verse 1. And this is a question that answers many a person's problems, by the way. What is the source of quarrels and conflicts among you? Is not the source your pleasures that wage war in your members? You lust and do not have, so you commit murder. And you are envious and cannot obtain, so you fight and quarrel. You do not have because you do not ask. You ask and do not receive because you ask with the wrong motives that you may spend it on your pleasures. Here he's saying ask and you're not receiving. Right? Look in chapter 1 of James, verse 5. But if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all men generously and without reproach, it will be given. Praise the Lord, it's going to be given. But notice there's a qualification. But let him ask in faith without any doubting. For the one who doubts is like the surf of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man expect that he will receive anything from the Lord, being a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. So then, don't take this promise from our passage that God's going to answer every prayer. If you're not a believer, he's not going to answer. The only prayer he's going to answer is one for salvation, by the way. Whoever call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. And if you're a believer, he's not going to answer your prayers if sin is in the way. Because sin, he's not going to answer. It's going to hinder your prayers. It's going to hinder your relationship with him. You need to confess it, and he'll forgive you. So then, what are the prayers promised here that are going to be answered? Well, I believe we're going to see that God answers our desire for his righteousness to be manifest in our behavior. Notice the immediate context. He already called for righteous discernment, chapter 7, verse 6. Do not give what is holy to dogs. Do not throw your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under feet and tear you to pieces. Ask, it shall be given you. Seek, you shall find. Knock, it shall be opened to you. We need wisdom from God who to share the word with. We need wisdom from him. And if you ask him, he's going to answer. You're going to have the answer. He's going to answer absolutely. We need wisdom concerning the right behavior of what he has called us to do. Indeed, the overall context of the Sermon on the Mount is righteousness that comes from God, and those who are in the kingdom are going to exhibit kingdom righteousness. Look back a little bit. Matthew 5, verse 6. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for what? For righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Praise the Lord. We're not there yet. But if you're a true believer, you know you're not there yet. But you want to be. You hunger and thirst for it. Guess what? You're going to be satisfied. How about verse 10? Blessed are those who have been persecuted for righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. How about verse 20? For I say to you, unless your righteousness surpasses that of the scribes and Pharisees, you shall not enter the kingdom of heaven. What about what we see in chapter 6? Verse 31. Do not be anxious then, saying, what shall we eat, what shall we drink, or what shall we clothe ourselves? For all these things the Gentiles eagerly seek, for your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things, but seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Practical righteousness is the righteousness of God manifest in us when we trust him and his word works in our hearts by the power of his Spirit. It is unattainable on our own. We cannot do what God calls us to do in every circumstance apart from going to him and allowing him to live through us, trusting in him. We need to depend upon him, and this is going to manifest in prayer. You want to respond rightly in the context of relationships you're in. You want to do what's right. Ask, and it shall be given. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened to you. You want to do what's right? You want to respond rightly? You don't want to snap back at people? You don't want to act wickedly? Ask, seek, and knock, right? And again, notice the end of our passage. This is key because he summarizes this whole portion. Verse 12, therefore, however you want people to treat you, so treat them, for this is the law and the prophets. It has to do with how you want people to treat you. There's no way I can treat anyone in a godly way, fulfilling God's word, unless God intervenes. And I need to ask, I need to seek, I need to find, I need to ask him. And he's going to supply what is needed. We ask God to help us to treat people according to His Word, to love them like He loves us. We're going to see that how we want to be treated is the way God treats us. So we should treat others the way God treats us. And the only way we can do that is to have Him living through us. So back in our passage, notice that Jesus classifies these prayers, these requests, by the answer. He says, that which is good. This helps us understand what's being prayed for, okay? Verse 11, if you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, he's going to go from the lesser to the greater, how much more shall your Father who is in heaven give what is good to those who ask him? It's emphatic. The prayers that are being answered 100% for sure are that which is good from God's standpoint. And then he gives what is good in response. That's the promise. Indeed, we saw earlier that we should let our light shine in such a way, Matthew 5:16, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. And what is it that's truly good? It's the character of Christ. It's the character of our God. Remember that rich young ruler that came up to the Lord Jesus and said, good teacher. The Lord said, hey, there's no one good but God. And he's saying it to reprove him because he didn't believe he's God, by the way. We know that there's none who do good, Romans 3. There's none. So then, God is good and does good, yet in marvelous fashion, God equips believers through the Word to manifest the life of Christ. He equips us through the Word of God, and we are created for good works to walk in them. 2 Timothy 3:16, all scriptures inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be adequate, equipped for every good work. This doesn't happen in a vacuum, asking, seeking, knocking, right? We know from Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, that we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works that we should walk in them. The reality is, the doing of good by true believers doesn't happen in a vacuum. What do I mean? We have to abide in Christ. We need to trust in him. We need to rely on him. And prayer reveals that reliance. When we ask, we are needing something. And he's going to give examples of things that are needed. By the way, these are food items, as we'll see in a minute. Things that are absolutely needed. And what we absolutely need is him to live through us. And if we ask for what is good, you ask for what is good concerning how to react to somebody, he is absolutely going to give it to you. Absolutely. The only way we can do what he wants us to do is to abide in Christ and step out in faith. And this is where dependent prayer comes in. Ask and it shall be given to you. Seek and you shall find. Knock, it shall be opened for you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds. To him who knocks, it shall be opened. And he gives an illustration. Or what man is there among you, when his son shall ask him for a loaf, will give him a stone? Or if he shall ask for a fish, he will not give him a snake, will he? If then you, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more shall your Father who is in heaven give what is good to those who ask him? These are good works that are wrought in God. They are good works which are a manifestation of a relationship with him. We are trusting in him and abiding in Jesus. And they are evidence in the context of dependent prayer. As the Word of God is working in the heart of the true believer, as the Spirit of God, as we'll see in a moment, is working in the life of a true believer, as we rely on the Lord, not being conformed to this world, but transformed through the renewing of our minds, his will be worked out in our lives in the context of dependent prayer. And it's my belief that we know the Word pretty well, a lot of us do, and we don't pray enough. We don't pray enough in those circumstances in which we're tempted. Where we're tempted to do the wrong thing. We're tempted to rely on our own strength. We're tempted to react. We need to ask, and we need to seek, and we need to knock, and we need to know he will give what is good absolutely. Notice he commands us to pray dependently and persistently. He says, ask, it shall be given. Obviously, you don't have it. You're dependent. Knock, it shall be open. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, it shall be open to you. For everyone who asks, and he who seeks, finds, and to him who knocks, shall be opened. Continually habitual form here. We're to be continually praying, Lord God, help me do this, help me do this, help me here, help me to respond right. There's a continual conversation with your God. You're walking with him. You know, in the early church, they were continually devoted to the apostles teaching the breaking of bread and prayer, right? We're to devote ourselves to prayer, keeping alert in an attitude of thanksgiving. Colossians 4. Consider what he shares in a parallel teaching. Turn to Luke chapter 11. Luke chapter 11, verse 5. And he said to them, suppose one of you should have a friend and shall go to him at midnight and say to him, friend, lend me 3 loaves. For a friend of mine has come to me from a journey and I have nothing to set before him. And from inside he shall answer and say, do not bother me, for the door is already shut. My children and I are in bed. I cannot get up and give you anything. I tell you, even though he will not get up and give him anything because he is his friend, yet because of his persistence, he will get up and give him as much as he needs. I say to you, ask, it shall be given to you. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, it shall be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it shall be opened. Now this is in the context of persistence. We give up so quickly. We ask and we give up. We seek and we give up. We knock and we give up. We need to be persistent in prayer. Lord God, I need you. Help me to do this. Help me to respond rightly, Lord God. Help me to think rightly. Help me to react rightly. Help me to treat them as you would treat me, Lord God. We need his help. Consider what the Lord shares in a parable. Turn to Luke 18. I believe we're not very persistent at times, folks. We give up too easy. Luke 18. Now he was telling them a parable to show that at all times they ought to pray and not lose heart. Isn't that great? At all times pray and don't lose heart. Okay? Saying, there was in a certain city a judge who did not fear God and did not respect man. And there was a widow in that city, and she kept coming to him, saying, give me legal protection from my opponent. And while he was unwilling, but afterward he said to himself, even though I do not fear God nor respect man, yet because this widow bothers me, I will give her legal protection, lest by continually coming she wear me out. And the Lord said, hear what the unrighteous judge said. Now shall not God bring about justice for his elect who cry to him day and night? Or will he delay long over them? I tell you, he will bring about justice for them speedily. However, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? Persist and trust the Lord. You got to trust him. You know, we're pretty persistent when it's something we're really concerned about. You know, say you have a child who's sick. We pray and pray and pray and pray, and rightfully so. Right? Because we know we can't do anything about it. God has to intervene. We need to be the same way. He wants us to persist in prayer, to persist. He said to pray at all times and not to lose heart. We're to pray without ceasing. That doesn't mean we're walking around like this all the time. It means we have an open conversation with the Lord. We're walking with the Lord as if he's with us, and he is. It ought to be the same way for the basics of our life with the people we interact with. When you're tempted to snap at your husband or your wife, you're tempted to act selfishly, ask, seek, and knock. Ask the Lord to help you to be godly, to respond righteously, to change your heart. He will answer that prayer. Tempted to selfishly lust, ask, seek, knock. God will answer. Tempted to worry, ask, seek, and knock. God will answer. Tempted to be angry at someone, ask, seek, and knock. Tempted not to forgive, Satan bringing up stuff, ask, seek, and knock, he will answer. And that's in the context of his word illuminating in your heart by his spirit. So what's your prayer life like? Do you persist in prayer concerning the things of Christ, personally between you and him? Are you continually asking, seeking, knocking on the door of heaven that God might enable you to behave rightly towards the people around you, towards everyone around you? Sometimes we just cruise into the world and we don't pray much about it at all. We need to pray that we respond and act rightly. God might open doors for his word. God might help us to respond with the words that he has, to have discernment, discretion. You see, if we're not persistent in prayer, that reveals we're not dependent, and that reveals that we're prideful in those areas. You see, because apart from God, we can do nothing. So ask, seek, and knock. And then notice, Jesus promises to answer the prayers according to his will. He says the Father will do so. Ask, for you shall be given. Seek, you shall find. Knock, it shall be opened to you. For everyone who asks, received. Everyone who seeks, finds. And to him who knocks, it shall be opened. Continually, habitually ask. Continually, habitually knock. Continually, habitually seek. It's going to be answered. You're going to find it, and it's going to be opened. And if you still don't get it, he says, for everyone who asks, verse 8, receives. And he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks, it shall be open. There is no partiality with God. Every believer who seeks in this context in prayer is going to be answered. You see, God gives generously to all men and without reproach if you ask in faith. We need to abide in Jesus Christ. Notice this, if you abide in me, John 15, let's turn there, because we see it has a lot to do with asking and having his will done. John 15. And sometimes there needs to be confessing before asking, by the way. Lord, wrong attitude, forgive me. Now help me do the right thing, right? Help me see it your way. Help me to treat them as you would treat me. If you abide in me, Jesus says, John 15:7, and my words abide in you, that means his words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and it shall be done for you. Isn't that great? You can know that if you ask about doing what is right and what is good, he's going to answer you. If you don't have sin in the way and his word is in your heart, he's going to answer you. He says, by this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so demonstrate or prove to be my disciples. 1 John 5:14, and this is the confidence we have before him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears. And if we know he hears us and whatever we ask, we know we have the requests from which we have asked from him. Help me be godly towards this person. And guess what? He is going to do so. He is going to do so. You trust him. You trust him. He gives what is good. It's a matter of faith. Do you believe that God will do what he says? If you do, it'll change your walk. Trust him in every circumstance, and we fail. Confess your sin. We fail. Satan wants to get you down on that. Just confess and move forward. Press on. Trust him in every circumstance that his righteousness, his rightness towards others, his love, his kindness, his grace would be manifest in you, and it will if you trust him. Tremendous promise. Everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and he who knocks, it shall be opened. So how do we accomplish the righteous demands of God? We need to be totally dependent. We need to walk in the context of prayer and trust. And then notice we also need to understand who we're talking to. We need to see his, understand his character, because we so mischaracterize God at times in our hearts. We so do. Verse 9, or what man is there among you when his son shall ask him for a loaf, that's food, it will give him a stone? Or if he shall ask for a fish, he will not give him a snake, will he? If you then, being evil, this is from the lesser to greater, mankind being sinful, and even the most sinful of men will probably won't give a stone, they'll give a bread, right? He says, if you, then being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more shall your Father who is in heaven give what is good to those who ask him?
If you've just tuned in, you're listening to Equipping the Saints with Greg Lundstedt. And Greg's message today is from his series in the book of Ezekiel. Now, you can hear today's message again by visiting our website, etsradio.org. That's etsradio.org. CDs of today's message or other messages are available at our website as well. And as a part of the ministry of Equipping the Saints, all our audio resources are available at no cost to you. Thanks to the Lord's provision through the faithful support of friends of this broadcast. To order your complimentary CD, call us toll-free, 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. If you prefer to request your complimentary CD by email, our email address is contact@etsradio.org. Greg, you said in your message today that this passage is much more about our view of God than it is about a specific kind of prayer. So can you take a moment and explain that?
You know, Dave, the entire passage gives us a glimpse into the heart of God, and it shows us what a good God that we serve. Now, we can intellectually agree with this passage, but it will mean virtually nothing to us if it doesn't convict our hearts and thus our actions. when we pray, we need to pray with a better understanding of who we are praying to. If our picture of the Lord whom we pray to is not accurate, then our prayers are going to be inaccurate. So it's crucial that we understand the God in whom we serve, the God who saved us, and then pray to Him rightly based on what we know about Him from His Word. We serve a great and mighty and merciful God, and He is waiting to hear from you today.
As we close today's broadcast, it's our prayer that the Word of God has done its work in your life and that you've been challenged and encouraged to follow Christ more closely. If you'd like a complimentary CD of today's broadcast, call us toll-free at 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. And if you prefer to request your complimentary CD by email, our email address is contact@etsradio.org. Well, we hope you'll make plans to join us again on Monday, right here for another edition of Equipping the Saints. Equipping the Saints is a broadcast ministry of Equipping Bible Church.